I enjoy being with you on a daily basis because there's so much news going on. Throughout this week, we've been using this idea of the weatherman for the end times. Remember, we saw the verse in Matthew chapter 16 where the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and said, "Show us a sign." And he'd given them plenty of signs. There wasn't a lack of miracles, wasn't a lack of signs, but it was a doubt. It was, again, a skepticism. And you know, that's what I find today. There's a lot of skepticism because people say, "Well, how do you know the Lord's coming? How do you know these are signs?" Well, the Bible is very clear, and the Lord was very clear. He said, "You can discern the face of the sky, you can predict the weather, but you can't discern the signs of the time." And so these signs, I think, are really great indicators. We've looked at the World Economic Forum, and over the next day or so, we want to look at the two-state solution. We want to look at a platform for the Antichrist. What will the Antichrist actually come and do on the earth? And we want to look at the enemies of Israel. Then we've got some more topics lined up for the rest of the week. And so as we look at being spiritual weathermen, trying to decide, are we looking at indicators that the Bible has talked about? Isn't it wonderful to have a Bible, to have a Word of God, a written Word of God? Not just the traditions of men, but a written Word of God. And that Word of God is very clear about what the indicators are for the coming of Christ. And when I say that, remember it has to do with signs or indicators for the coming tribulation. There's no signs for the rapture. That's a sound. The Lord will come. Those that are ready will go up. And so really, the rapture is something that you got to prepare for. That's why it's so important to understand this teaching. And so that's why these signs are important. It's not the signs. It's the idea that reminds us that we need to be prepared. And I hope you'll tell your family that and your loved ones that. And then there's indicators of the millennial kingdom. There's things that the Bible says will take place in the millennium. We're already seeing those lining up. And so that tells us how near we are to Christ's coming. And as we speak about that, I want to again remind you about you can download not only the chart that we're looking at. That'll be a very valuable thing in your Bible study. I hope you'll get the free download. I hope you'll put it in your Bible, and every time we study, you can take that out, and you'll be able to follow us, I think, very easily. And then also, the we call it a booklet, but there's also a PDF, great indicators for the last days. A lot of indicators that we're not going to have time to talk about in our program today or this week, but things that you'll enjoy studying. So today, we want to look at the idea of a two-state solution. Here's what I find interesting. A lot of people say, well, who does the land belong to? And we've already looked at this. We've talked about it. But here's what the Bible says. The book of Joel says this, that the land belongs to God. God gave the land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in Genesis chapter 35, he makes it clear that the land of Israel belongs to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the descendants of Jacob, and that would be the nation of Israel today. Abraham had another son, Ishmael. Matter of fact, he had more than just Ishmael and Isaac. But Ishmael is the one that they say is the father of the Arab countries. And in Genesis chapter 37, it talks about how that God gave to him Seir, S-E-I-R, the area that we call Jordan today. And so God didn't leave them without a country, but he gave them a land. And so why is it that people are always saying, well, let's have a two-state solution? Let me read another set of verses to you. And I think this will be helpful because, you know, from time to time people say, well, how come you never refer to it as the land of Palestine? Well, that's really like saying the land of the Philistines. Why would we pick the Philistines? Because if you go all the way back to the book of Matthew, and what we find is that God refers to this land. And when he does, in Matthew chapter 2, it says, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead who sought the young child's life. And he," that's Joseph, "he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel." So here's what we know. We know that all the way back in Matthew chapter 2, the time of Matthew's writing, let's just say, was 60 A.D. From 60 A.D. on, it was called the land of Israel, and even before that time as well. But so that's why when we talk about this two-state solution, I always kind of stand in amazement at it. But what I find interesting is that there's new pressure mounting again for this two-state solution. Now later, I'm going to show you, when we come to the enemies of Israel, I'm going to show you a map. I'm going to show you how small Israel is. I'm going to show you how big the enemies of Israel are and how big the Arab Empire is. I'm all for the Palestinians. I'm all for the Arab people having their homeland. But why should it be Jerusalem? Why should it be the Temple Mount? And so look at the pressure that's mounting. And so here in January 2023, Japan seeks Israel's cooperation on a two-state solution. What's interesting is this. You might say, okay, what does Japan have to do with this? Well, the truth is nothing. But Japan, wanting oil, wanting energy, wanting other critical materials, they say, okay, we're going to side with the Arab interest. We're going to side with the Palestinian interest. And so pressure, this pressure is born in the UN Security Council, is born in many areas of the UN. And that's why I distrust the UN so much. And so they're saying, okay, we should make a Palestinian territory. And of course, they want it right in the area of Jerusalem. That, you see, the Bible indicated the last days, Jerusalem would be the focal point. And we're seeing that take place in a major way. Now, here's another article. And again, we're talking about January 2023. And Saudi Arabia say the Palestinian statehood is a key to establishing ties with Israel. I find this incredible. Why would this be so important? Well, here's why. Because when you come to Saudi Arabia, you're talking about the Arab world's largest economy. And so do you see how that money is the thing that's dictating? Oil and money are the power points. And so I look at this and say, okay, why would they even care? I mean, what does it bother them? Have you seen how big Saudi Arabia is? I'll show you in a minute. It's huge. If they thought so strongly about giving a few thousand people, a few hundred thousand people a land, they have plenty of land in Saudi Arabia to do so. But what is amazing is that they want exactly this land that belongs to Israel. They want particularly Jerusalem, and even more emphatically, they want the Temple Mount. And the Bible again says this was an indicator that we're living in the last days. In the last days, this would be exactly the case. And so here they are, they're saying, this is the key. Well, it's key only because, you see, what they're doing is they're saying, we're going to line up together. We're going to push this forward. And they're using everything, including the United Nations, to push this two-state solution. Again, I'm not saying they shouldn't have a homeland. I'm just saying it shouldn't be on the same territory that belongs to Israel, that Israel won in a war and it was given to them by God. The Palestinians tell Biden advisor to rein in Israel before it's too late. Isn't this amazing? I mean, this is all taking place right now. I mean, right as we talk, these things are taking place. And so when he meets with the president of the Palestinians, Abbas says this. He tells Mr. Sullivan, who's the U.S. Point man, he says, pressure Israel with its illegal settlements and construction and the daily killings and insurrections of the Palestinian cities and towns. Nothing can be bigger lie than that. Number one, why is it wrong for Israel to build settlements in the land of Israel? I don't know what state you live in. Let's just say you live in Wisconsin. Can you imagine somebody in another country telling you you can't build houses in Wisconsin? This is just ridiculous. So here they are, and they want the United States to tell Israel, you can't build settlements. I know why they want it. You can probably figure it out as well. Because you see, the more houses that are there and the more Israelis that are living there, the better they say the claim is to the land. The claim to the land came long before there were houses built there. The claim to the land, as we looked in some of our previous programs, historically, archaeologically, biblically, it's all there. It belongs to Israel. And so now we have Japan, we have Saudi Arabia. I've got articles that show you Russia. Even Russia is telling them what to do in a two-state solution. And now the United States. Really, I'm embarrassed that the United States would bow to this kind of pressure. Why are we trying to favor them? Israel has every right to that claim. It's important that they continue to have the claim to that. And so as we look at this, I think it's a great way to talk about this idea of a plan, a platform for the Antichrist. You see, the Antichrist, when he comes, he's going to try to broker peace. Matter of fact, the whole idea of peace, peace from an Antichrist, is so important. Later this week, I'm going to dedicate a whole day to it. But a platform for the Antichrist, I think, is important. And so here's among the things I think this Antichrist will do. He's going to talk about a two-state solution. You see, right now, it's a point of conflict. And that conflict's got to be resolved. How come I know it's going to be resolved? Because Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says it will be resolved. The Antichrist will offer a treaty for 7 years. Isn't that an interesting time frame? To Israel. And the leaders will accept it. They're going to set down their weapons. And they will actually be a country of unwalled villages based on Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. And so I know it's going to talk about a two-state solution. I know it's going to have some things to do with oil and natural gas, something of great value. It could include other things, but those are things of great value, and the world wants them. And you know what? The relationships of one country to another often is predicated on oil and the availability of oil, critical material. You know what? If it's not oil, well, it'll be lithium. It'll be copper. It'll be the whole idea how to make batteries, and not just how to mine them, but how to refine them. And again, we're going to talk about these things later. I'm sure it's going to include the Temple Mount, because you see, this is the thing that seems to be the trigger point right now in the land of Israel. The Jews want to come back. They want to worship on the Temple Mount. And isn't it amazing that not only do the Palestinians say, no, we've been worshiping up here, we got status quo, but isn't it interesting that now the United Nations is trying to pressure them through the Security Council not to allow them to do that? We've got to spend a whole session on that. And then the idea of peace. Yes, peace. The Bible says that he'll promise peace and safety. And when he does, when people think they'll get it, it'll be sudden destruction. And then, of course, here's the platform, the religious platform. It's going to go from chapter and verse. It's going to go to climate and energy, the bad people that sin by having a large carbon footprint. And so what's interesting is here we are, senior U.S. officials, they make stops. And where do they go? They go to Iraq. They go to Jordan. And here is Amos Hochstein. He's the number one advisor for Mr. Biden. He's the closest advisor that he has. He's in almost every meeting, important meeting. He's the one. He's the climate czar, the energy czar. Wow. And you know what? He's a clear thinker. He's a Jewish man. We'll talk about him more in some of our programs coming up. But what are they here for? Basis of the two-state solution. You see, this seems to be the pressure point. And that's why I say, as we look at these things, I really think that we're looking at the platform for the Antichrist. What will it take to get the Antichrist to become a world leader, to be respected? Well, I think this is part of the program that we're watching. And if he's going to broker a peace deal, Daniel 9:27, then it's not surprising that we begin to see these platform items come. And you'll see that this is from some of the Arab news sources. Or how about this? UAE, the expert group to govern partnership for accelerating clean energy. And so here they are, and wouldn't you know it, as they talk about energy with UAE, they talk about energy with Saudi Arabia, and they're talking about $20 billion. Wow, I mean, and this is incredible. The new energy, the new climate control. And here's our man, Amos Hochstein. There he is, the president's right-hand man. The guy who, let me tell you this, he has so much influence. During a one-week period of time, we traced his meetings. He's met with Putin. He's met with European leaders. He's met with Saudi Arabia. He's met with Jordan. He's meeting with UAE. He met with in the United States, this man is really a world shaker. And so here he is. He's talking about accelerating clean energy. What's needed for that? Well, again, it's going to be critical material. You see, with fossil fuels, there's critical material. Whoever has the fossil fuels, you can see they have a dominant position. And let me tell you, when it comes to alternate energy styles, whether it's battery storage, solar power, all these things, whoever has the critical material, it's going to be an important aspect of it. So these are part of the platform, I think, for the Antichrist. Now, let's continue indicators for this weatherman. Here are signs, because at the same day when all this is taking place, isn't it amazing, on the same day, Turkey, here's their statement, Putin's open door for harming Western interest. Can you believe it? They make no bones about it. The leader of Turkey, the leader of Russia meet together, and their whole point is to harm Western interest. In other words, what they want to do, they say, if we band together, we can make it tough on the Western powers. We can make it tough on the democracies. Oh yeah, they'd like to do that. And part of the reason for doing this is because both of them have a hatred for Israel. Remember, I promised that I was going to show you a map. And so here it is. Here's the little nation of Israel. And here's Libya. Here's Ethiopia. Here's Persia or Iran. Here's Sheba and Dedan. These are all areas that are mentioned in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 38. They're enemies of Israel. Look how huge this land is. Here's Turkey. Here's Russia. And yet they spy this little place out and say, okay, let's divide that and make that a home for the Jews, and let's make it a home for the Palestinians. That's why I say I'm not opposed to a two-state solution. But isn't it crazy that it's got to be at the exact foot where Israel wants to put their foot? It's got to be in Jerusalem. It's got to be on the Temple Mount. And the Bible said that this would be exactly the situation in the last days. We're watching it take place just as the Bible says. And so I look at these things, the headlines, and isn't it amazing that Turkey is mentioned by name? By name in Ezekiel 38. Russia is mentioned by name in Ezekiel chapter 38. You know what? These countries wouldn't even speak to each other 30 years ago. But today, they're best friends. They're coming together. They're talking about how they can unite against Israel and against the West. Or how about this? Again, a January headline. And now we're bringing Syria into play. And again, the reason why that's so important is because when we go to Israel and we look, I mean, we stand in Israel, we look into Syria, and we can actually see the Russian tanks there. And so here are the people, and they're ganging up, they're putting their stuff together to say, hey, let's be a united front against it. So we've got them on the south, we've got them on the east, and of all things, same week, Sirius power dynamics is shifting, and then look at this one, Hezbollah on the north of Israel, completely surrounded. It talks about the Lebanese terrorist groups via Syria and the shells that are going there. Matter of fact, articles indicate this, that Hezbollah on the northern border of Israel has already erected 20 outposts. And what's interesting, you're going to love this, what's interesting is that in these outposts, they actually have a flag that shows green environment. And under the flag, they've discovered this, that there's places to live, there's places for ammunition. All these things violate the security code by which the border was established, violate the UN security code that these countries always say, we want to follow the UN. It violates it. And so Netanyahu, he's warning Iran. He's saying, Hezbollah, that's the terrorist organization in Lebanon. Wow, you're breaking the law. You know, you want us to abide by the law, and you're breaking the law. We're looking at these things taking place one after another after another. My friends, this is exactly why we're going to see the Antichrist come to power. Because he knows, you know what, this is what I've got to do. In order to broker peace, I've got to take these different factions. I've got to take these different sides. And so I look at this and I say, wow, what an exciting time. I wonder what someone would do if they were to come back alive, let's say that lived 200 years ago, First of all, do you realize that they would be shocked because there's an Israel? The Bible indicated that these things would take place when Israel was back in the land. And really, until 1948, Israel wasn't back in the land. And these people, if they were 100 years ago, or they'd say, but there's no Israel. And they're certainly not back in the land. And there's certainly nothing growing in the desert. But you know what? The Bible indicated that there would be crops growing in the desert. And that Israel would be back in the land. And they even indicate that they would be used in the Hebrew language. And they indicate who the enemies are. These enemies, they're outlined in the Bible. They would talk about incredible things like cities that would be destroyed and rebuilt. And in the book, Great Indicators for the Last Day, I list those cities. I name the ones that have been rebuilt exactly as the Bible said. The Bible names them. That's why I think we're living in such an exciting time. You see, Weatherman, can we discern the signs of the times? Not the sign of the rapture. No, this is a sign for the tribulation, because the Bible is clear that this takes place in that tribulation period of time. Let me go to one more article, because this is, again, an important one. It's in January. Report, Iran sets up air defense deployment in Syria in bid to curb Israel's strikes. Now, what I find to be just fascinating, here's Israel, surrounded by exactly the enemies that God said in the last days would try to invade. Not only in Israel, but the Bible says Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be a cup of trembling, a burdensome stone. What does it mean by a cup of trembling? So much action that it would be shaking. You couldn't hold the coffee cup still. Burdensome stone, a hernia stone. It's so powerful, it's so heavy, the burden is so great, it would cause injury if it tried to lift it. And so here are the enemies of Israel, exactly as the Bible said. Here's Jerusalem, the point of contention, and the Bible even goes a step further and says that the Temple Mount, the place of worship, will be in control. We've got to explore that in our next lesson tomorrow. But I like the fact that the Bible mentions Persia, or modern-day Iran, and what is incredible is that these people, Iran is the one who has threatened Israel. They've said this, we want to destroy the big Satan, that's the United States, and the little Satan, that's Israel. And so Israel's defense system, the Iron Dome, Israel's military defense on the east side, I mean, we're talking a sliver of a country. We're talking an army so small compared to the Russian army, so small compared to the Iranian army. And the Bible said they would be outnumbered, and yet they would still be able to have an incredible defense. Why? Well, I think part of it is their air power. The United States has excelled in army information from Israel. We've excelled in aircraft that we've sold to Israel. And then Israel does something incredible. They take our aircraft, they modify them, and how they use them is indeed fantastic, because you see they're able to defend that little teeny small country. But Iran, this article goes on to talk about this. It says they've invested millions of dollars in effort to ramp up the deployment of advanced air defense system in Syria. Why? Because they understand that they'll never be able to invade Israel unless they can tear down some of the advantage that Israel has in their defense system right on the border. Wow. I don't know about you, but I look at that and say, you know what? Isn't it amazing that we can read the Bible? We can read the Bible, and we know what tomorrow's headline's going to be. Spiritual weatherman, the challenge was given to Jesus, and it was this, show us a sign. Well, let me tell you that the Bible, God's Word, written in advance. You see, this was written 2,000 to 4,000 years ago, and this book gives the headlines that will be in tomorrow's newspaper. That's how accurate it is. But the warnings are for this, for the tribulation. And I'm convinced, and the chart will help to explain this, I'm convinced that before the tribulation ever begins, it has to have the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is not revealed until Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, when that first seal is broken. Now the Antichrist begins his devilish work. And it corresponds exactly with Matthew 24, the beginning of sorrows. You see, the Bible is laid out in order. And you go from Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 6, the scene's heaven. It's the rapture of the church. Those are caught up to be with the Lord. Then the wrath of God from Revelation chapter 6 all the way through through chapter 17 and 18, the collapse, the total collapse of the enemies of God, including Jesus Christ coming back, putting his foot on the Mount of Olives, splitting it in two, going and defeating the Antichrist. But the Bible says that the Antichrist would come to power. And at a time just like we're talking about, with the nations just like we're talking about, with the target, the land of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, and the sacred area, the Temple Mount, all in the eye of the Antichrist and those that follow him. My friend, those are the indicators, and they're here. Indicators for the tribulation. And so here's my conclusion. It says this, that we need to be looking for Jesus to come. That's the point of it. He gives us these warnings so that you can be prepared. The weatherman gives you a weather report so that you can be prepared. Wouldn't it be crazy to watch the weather and find out it's going to rain tomorrow or snow tomorrow and you don't prepare for it? In the same way, spiritually, God has said, I'm going to give you these indicators for the tribulation. And here they are. One by one, as we look at them, my friend, I hope you're saying, wow, we need to heed the warning that God has given. You see, I believe that we live in an exciting time. An exciting time because the Bible is being fulfilled before our very eyes. And so again, I want to conclude our program with this. Are you ready? It tells me I need to be ready. The rapture is something that you can prepare for. The rapture is something that you can say, I know it's coming. God's word promised it. I got to be ready. But there's not going to be a sign for the rapture. No, there's going to be a sound. And the sound, if you hear the sound of the trumpet, if you hear the voice calling you, come up here, you've waited too long. But thank God today, right now, you do have time. Maybe there's someone who's listening today and you've never confessed to God, I'm a sinner. I have stolen. I have lied. I have cheated. I have broken the law of God. I'm a sinner. All you got to do is break one law and you're a lawbreaker, a sinner. But aren't you glad that God sent Jesus, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. My friend, Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood. He paid the debt of my sin and yours. And today, all you need to do is to accept him. Receive him as your Savior. And my friend, then these signs won't scare you, but they'll thrill you because we're living on the brink of Jesus coming. I look forward to having you join me again tomorrow as we continue our study of Spiritual Weathermen.